Hey, all, Scott here. Ever wanted to help support the show and own silver at the same time? Well, a friend of mine, libertarian activist Arlo Pignatti, has invented the alternative currency with the most promise of them all, QR Silver Commodity Discs, the first ever QR code 1 ounce silver pieces. Just scan the back of one with your phone and get the instant spot price. They're perfect for saving or spending at the market. And anyone who donates $100 or more to the Scott Horton Show at scotthorton.org/donate gets one. That's scotthorton.org/donate. And if you'd like to learn and order more, send them a message at commoditydiscs.com or check them out on Facebook at /commoditydiscs. And thanks. Hey, I'm Scott. This is my show, The Scott Horton Show. I'm on Liberty Radio Network and scotthorton.org. And man, I'm so bad at fundraising. I was supposed to be mentioning today on the show, I'm still doing this fund drive, and if you could and would, go over to scotthorton.org/donate. And donate. But okay, I'll stop beating you over the head with that. Now, I was described to you, I thought maybe I had the link here. I guess it's gone. At the start of the show today, I was saying, yeah, Phil Giraldi's going to be on the show, and he's going to be talking about his piece at uns.com, Fascism in America. And then right as I was wrapping up that segment with that subject, I looked on my Twitter feed, and there was a tweet, and of course Israel is a big part of the article as well, speaking of fascism. And then right there in my Twitter feed was a tweet from the Washington Free Beacon with a big American flag, and it said, Americans just want the good old days back again, straight out of the article. It couldn't have fit better if Phil Giraldi and his CIA buddies had arranged it that way. Welcome back to the show, Phil. How are you doing?
I'm okay, Scott. How about you?
I'm doing good. Appreciate you joining us today. And yeah, he is former CIA and DIA officer, writes for the American Conservative, uns.com, and Al Jazeera America, sometimes at least, right? Still? Yeah?
Yeah, Al Jazeera every once in a while, yeah.
Okay, yeah. And then he's the executive director of the Council for the National Interest, which I guess you could say is the antidote, the opposite of the Israel lobby in Washington, D.C., councilforthenationalinterest.org. Okay, so, yeah, fascism. You know what? Everybody calls everybody fascist all the time, left, right, and everything else. Fascist just means you disagree with me, I think, something like that, maybe. So why don't we start with a real definition here, Phil?
Well, you know, there are a lot of definitions of fascism, and there are a lot of aspects to it. And, in fact, if you look at the history of fascism, you can see that there were a lot of different explanations by the fascists themselves what they represented. And what I latched onto for this piece was essentially the ultra-nationalist sense of fascism, in a way, the racist sense, the sense that the fascist people, the fascist nations, were a superior people and had a right to dictate to others. And if that meant going to war, then that was up to the fascists to decide, and they would punish the people that opposed them, and so on. So it's kind of the sense of ultra-nationalism. I hate to say American exceptionalism, which we've been seeing surfacing for the last few years, that I am basically defining as fascism.
Mm-hmm. So in other words, emotional drum beating in place of thought and planning for what's to be done.
Yeah, and in the sense that, you know, we are basically exceptional in the sense that the rules don't apply to us. That essentially was a fascist kind of principle, that if Mussolini wanted to invade Abyssinia, he would go ahead and do it. If Hitler wanted the Lebensraum in Eastern Europe, he would attack Poland. You know, there's this sense, racial sense, there's this nationalist sense. It's all combined in the same agenda.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, maybe I have it wrong about the cart coming before the horse and all that, but I had always thought that American exceptionalism at its base, what it really meant was we're exceptional because we really do have a consensus for freedom here, and we mean to keep it. And so the whole world wants to be like us because our system, at least we strive to always make it as best as we possibly can, and set an example for the rest of mankind that life doesn't have to be so nasty, brutish, and short if only you're free like us. But I don't know how the hell that got twisted into, which means that we're so good that rules don't apply to us and moral laws don't apply to us and we all have a license to kill you, that kind of thing. That would seem like the complete opposite,
yeah.
Even with the same name, you know?
Yeah, well, when the last crop of Republicans running for president, you probably recall, they were quizzing each other on, do you believe in American exceptionalism? And here we have people like Sarah Palin coming out with this kind of thing. She doesn't have a clue what she's saying. And what she means is that the United States basically can set its own rules. And you're quite right. You know, we are an exceptional country. We are historically an exceptional country. But so is every other country. Every other country has its own history and its own beliefs and things like that. Right. We shouldn't feel that we necessarily are forcing our values on others.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, I mean, we've all tangled in comment sections here or there, or, you know, looked on in horror at them too, but you got a very particular story in this article about a friend of yours who wrote an article and the comment section that followed and the kind of consensus of the rabble about what she had written, and it seems pretty informative there. Can you give us a rundown of that part of it?
Yeah, this is a friend of mine. I've known her for quite a few years. She's a retired Army lieutenant colonel. She was an Army lawyer involved with Guantanamo Bay prisoners, both defense and in terms of resolving some of the issues involved with Guantanamo. And so she's very highly qualified. She's a very strong Christian, evangelical Christian, in fact. And she basically wrote a letter to the paper saying, you know, we've essentially lost our moral roots here, in that we're seeing this slaughter of 2,000 Palestinian, mostly civilians, going on, and our government is aiding and abetting it, and nobody seems concerned. So it was kind of a letter, okay, not everybody's going to agree with it. But what was really shocking was the degree to which people wrote in, not only criticizing what she said or what her viewpoint was, but criticizing her as a person in the most humiliating terms, and also basically saying things like, you know, I really don't care if one of the comments was something effective, if 4.5 million Palestinians are killed in self-defense, I really don't care, that's just fine with me, that kind of thing. So I basically pulled all these comments together, and I put them together to show just how we indeed have lost our moral footing in the world, if this is what people believe.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, it just goes to show, you know, people believe whatever they hear repeated in their echo chamber and all that confirmation bias and basic, you know, social psychology 101 sort of stuff. Hey, we all think kill all the Arabs, right, everybody? And if nobody is saying absolutely not, what are you, crazy? Then, yeah, I guess that's what we all think. In fact, I've seen, you know, rabid warmongers find out that a family member that they really respect thinks the exact opposite, and then just on a dime, blam, drop every stupid thing that they were wrong about and instead defer to their respected authority, who is different,
yeah,
even though they're as,
yeah,
rabid as could be a minute before. So it's just, yeah, people just go by, you know, the group they want to fit into, I guess, more than anything else here, seems like.
Yeah. Well, the unfortunate thing is, you know, some of the people who made comments were people who should know better. They were clearly military veterans and indeed military officers in some cases. And there were some also some people who clearly were believing Christians. These people actually should have a better sense of that you don't advocate genocide. And just kind of do it off the cuff and say this is something that's perfectly acceptable. And yet that's what they were advocating.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, it seems like what's going on in Ferguson could be something that is something we all see a lot more often in every state, assuming we have worse economic problems or another few major terrorist attacks or something like that. Things get really bad here, and it's really sad to see that whatever, you know, giant plurality or giant proportion of the population is ready to fall in line behind a military form of government, as Tommy Franks put it, and stay there. They would prefer,
yeah,
it that way.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's, there's a feeling that you're safer that way. Of course, you're not, because you're subject to the whims of the military authorities. And to me, you're right. I mean, you're saying the right thing about Ferguson. In my county here in Virginia, we've had two people killed by the police in the last year that has, in situations where that kind of force was not did not have to be used. And yet, you know, nothing has happened. In fact, one of the cases is still, quote, under investigation.
Yeah. All right. I'm sorry. We got to stop right there, but that's a good stopping place. We'll be right back with Phil Giraldi, sure. UNZ.com, UNZ.com. This part of the Scott Horton Show is sponsored by Audible.com. And right now, if you go to audibletrial.com/Scott Horton Show, you can get your first audiobook for free. Of course, I'm recommending Michael Swanson's book, The War State, The Cold War Origins of the Military-Industrial Complex and the Power Elite. Maybe you've already bought The War State in paperback, but you just can't find the time to read it. Well, now you can listen while you're out marching around. Get the free audiobook of The War State by Michael Swanson, produced by Listen and Think Audio, at audibletrial.com/Scott Horton Show. You know what? For those of you who asked for the list of bumper music, I think I forgot this one. It's Dresden 45, Swiss Bank Account. I love this song. It's great. All right. Anyway, I'm talking with Phil Giraldi. And yeah, sorry about that, Phil. Got interrupted by the commercial break like we always do there. But we were talking about fascism, American support for it. You were saying in your local county there are at least two questionable shootings already this year. Is that right?
In the past year, there have been two killings of people that where lethal force was in no way required, and yet nothing has happened. There's here in Virginia, when there's a killing by local police, it's investigated by the state police. So you have the police investigating the other police when there's a killing. So you know nothing is going to happen. And anyway, what I'm saying about Ferguson, the scary thing is we still don't know really what happened there. And we really don't. But the fact is that what is frightening is a display of militarized police and the fact that our police first response is a military response. And that's what everybody should be talking about and everybody should be thinking about. I'm sure on your show you are. But there's not enough of that in the media because that really is the issue.
Right. Yeah, I mean, pretty much the poor black people in any ghetto in America already feel like they're occupied, even when the cops are wearing shirts and slacks and carrying pistols and have felt like that. But when you're talking literally about these guys being armed up more than the U.S. infantry in battle in Iraq and acting out the part against them, it's just completely out of control. And at least, you know, it seems like this thing with Ferguson, maybe they push it too far and they're getting a reaction even from the center here that like, hey, wait a minute, how far down this road have we really gone? What is this, David Addington's dream or what?
Yeah, more like a nightmare, I think. I mean, it's just the images were just were frightening. You know, this is not police crowd control. This is way, way beyond that. This is a military response to what is a civil procedure, which is policing. Yeah. And it's just unbelievable to watch it.
But, you know, Phil, if we just use enough force, we could have the good old days back again.
That's right. We could take over the Sudetenland, too.
Yeah. All right. Well, and so now here's the great segue between your two articles. The other one, this one is Fascism in America at UNS Review. And then the other is over at the American Conservative Magazine, Israel's Information Ops. And of course, what they have in common is Israel. And you talk quite a bit about sort of the very same right-wing nationalism at play in Israeli society and in Israeli government policy as here. And then also the propaganda, which of course is part and parcel of fascist regimes too, is they got to lie all damn day to make any of this seem reasonable. So,
yeah, that's basically what the article talks about. How, in terms of the recent killings in Gaza, obviously Israel has felt very, very wrong on the wrong side of the propaganda war or on the public affairs war, and so they've unleashed their secret army, which is the people that appear on all the websites that we go to and make repeated comments in favor of Israel and what Israel is doing, and they do this clandestinely. They don't use their real names. If they're Israelis, they don't say that they're Israelis. This is a government program which organizes people to confuse other people and feed them propaganda on the internet. And it goes far beyond anything that I know that is being done by any other government. And of course, Israel is at the same time a recipient of large amounts of U.S. money. So this is a factor in terms of, you know, what kind of policies they're trying to influence. So it's the U.S. taxpayer gets like a double whammy.
Yeah. Well, and the thing of it, too, is, it, as you put it in the article, it's usually pretty obvious who's the sock puppet, but still, it's quite disruptive when people are trying to have a constructive conversation and you've got people chiming in with their nonsense all the time.
Yeah, yeah, it's always the same kind of boilerplate. They actually get instructions from the foreign ministry in Tel Aviv telling them what the issues are that they should be addressing. There is a software that comes out of Israel. It's called Megaphone, and the people who are on this Megaphone system, there are allegedly 50,000 of them, each get instructions in terms of what articles to focus on to attack, what lines to use in making the attack, and so on and so forth. So it's a highly coordinated effort, and it's government run.
Yep. And now there's this new article too at Common Dreams today, the double identity of an anti-Semitic commenter. And I don't know, I actually didn't get to the end of this article because I ran out of time here doing the show today, Phil, but so I don't know if they trace this back to the Israeli government at all, but certainly they have busted, or I don't know, certainly they claim to have busted a Jewish Harvard graduate student, or no, just graduate, for being a sock puppet, but not coming online everywhere and accusing everyone of being an anti-Semite and spitting out talking points about Israeli self-defense for their aggression, but instead pretending to be an anti-Semite and going completely crazy and trying to smear everybody's honest dissent, or, you know, catch up everybody's honest dissent with his quite dishonest dissent there.
Yeah, that's exactly it. This is kind of a reverse tactic where he was basically pretending to be an anti-Semite and making outrageous comments frequently. He did over 1,000, I think the article said he did over 1,000 comments in 2 years. And they were all basically attacking this website because he didn't approve of the website being critical of Israel. So he made it look like 1,400 times. Apparently, and he made it look like it was a haven for anti-Semites, which of course it wasn't. And as a result, the organizers of the site and everything apparently suffered serious damage in terms of their reputation.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and then they claim they bust him by way of his IP address and all that. Did their investigation and found him out. But,
yeah, because you know people don't use their true names on comments and stuff like that very often, just because there's no reason why you should have to. But
sure.
Where you have people that are changing their identities frequently, so as not to be seen as the same person, then that's something else. That's I don't know if it's categorized as criminal behavior, but it's certainly being extremely deceptive.
Yeah,
and that's what this guy was doing. He kept changing his name, and they finally figured out, yeah, he's changing his name, but it's all coming from the same computer.
Right. Well, and yeah, you know, guilt by association is bad enough when somebody's just pointing their finger at somebody, but when you got to make up who it is they're supposedly associated with in order to smear them, that's pretty damn bad. And, you know, that brings up the question that these guys haven't seemed to ask themselves, and maybe I shouldn't ask it and just let them go on, but it seems all very counterproductive to me that, like, wow, hey, you know, just on the kind of basic level for those who are new at this, hey, maybe the Israelis, maybe the reason they're lying all the time is because what they're doing is wrong. I wonder if maybe that's what's going on here. It just makes it more transparent when their lies are so blatant, and they'd be better off just doing whatever bombing campaign against whatever, you know, babies they want to bomb, but just shut up about it instead of insulting my intelligence all day long at the same time and extra pissing me off.
Well, but the funny thing is, of course, if you link the two articles, the good people down there in Augusta, Georgia, obviously have bought into a lot of this stuff. They a lot of their comments repeated the same kind of boilerplate that the Hasbara, the Israeli government employees, were using to justify what Israel was doing in Gaza, saying that Israel was defending itself, that Israel did not initiate this war, that Hamas did. You know, it was the same arguments, and these people down in Georgia seem to have bought into it hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, it's just me. This stuff works. That's why they do it. It works.
Sure, it works.
Yep. And yeah. Well, and I want to emphasize how great this article is, because you really did do the work here and go back and show the different organizations and link to original sources and other secondary source journalism about it and that kind of thing. So for people who really want to know a lot about how it is that Israel runs these sock puppets on the internet to try to bog you down in your activism, it's Israel's Information Ops at theamericanconservative.com. And you can find out all about it there. And, well, we're about out of time anyway. So thanks again, Phil, for your time on the show.
Appreciate okay, Scott. Always a pleasure.
All right, you. So that's Phil Giraldi, former CIA and DIA officer, executive director of the Council for the National Interest, and writer for The American Conservative magazine at theamericanconservative.com, The UNS Review at UNS.com, UNZ, UNS.com, and for America.AlJazeera.com. See you tomorrow. Hey, I'll Scott Horton here. It's always safe to say that one should keep at least some of your savings in precious metals as a hedge against inflation. And if this economy ever does heat back up and the banks start expanding credit, rising prices could make metals a very profitable bet. Since 1977, Robertson Roberts Brokerage, Inc. has been helping people buy and sell gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, and they do it well. They're fast, reliable, and trusted for more than 35 years. And they take Bitcoin. Call Robertson Roberts at 1-800-874-9760 or stop by rrbi.co. Hey, all Scott here. If you're like me, you need coffee. Lots of it. And you probably prefer it tastes good, too. Well, let me tell you about Darren's Coffee Company at darrenscoffee.com. Darren Marion is a natural entrepreneur who decided to leave his corporate job and strike out on his own, making great coffee. And Darren's Coffee is now delivering right to your door. Darren gets his beans direct from farmers around the world. All specialty, premium grade, with no filler. Hey, the man just wants everyone to have a chance to taste this great coffee. Darren's Coffee. Order now at darrenscoffee.com. Use promo code Scott and save $2. darrenscoffee.com. Oh, John Kerry's Mideast peace talks have gone nowhere. Hey, all Scott Horton here for the Council for the National Interest at councilforthenationalinterest.org. U.S. military and financial support for Israel's permanent occupations of the West Bank and Gaza Strip is immoral, and it threatens national security by helping generate terrorist attacks against our country. And face it, it's bad for Israel, too. Without our unlimited support, they would have much more incentive to reach a lasting peace with their neighbors. It's past time for us to make our government stop making matters worse. Help support CNI at councilforthenationalinterest.org. You hate government? One of them libertarian types? Or maybe you just can't stand the president, gun grabbers, or warmongers. Me too. That's why I invented LibertyStickers.com. Well, Rick owns it now, and I didn't make up all of them, but still, if you're driving around and want to tell everyone else how wrong their politics are, there's only one place to go. LibertyStickers.com has got your bumper covered. Left, right, libertarian, empire, police state, founders quote, central banking. Yes, bumper stickers about central banking. Lots of them. And, well, everything that matters. LibertyStickers.com. Everyone else's stickers suck.